Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, I'm doing good. Happy Friday. We are creeping closer to the draft, so we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, this will kick off what we've now got to decide. It'll be a three-part series detailing the draft. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about the offensive side of the football, prospects that the Packers could potentially pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Next week will be defense, and then we'll talk about some late round gems, because really, Jesse, that because the Packers have four picks in the first 60, that seems like that's a lot of material to cover, a lot of potential players to go with. So these next 2 weeks, really going to focus on those four picks, pick 22, 28, 53, and 59. Now, of course, that's where it stands now. Trades could happen. They can move around. We know Gutekunst has not been afraid to trade during the draft. Although he does have to trade to the 22 spot around there. So now that they're already there, maybe not. But yeah, so anything can still happen. But as it stands right now, those are the four picks the Packers have in the first two rounds.
Yeah, if you like the NFL draft, it's pretty exciting because that's a lot of draft capital. And exactly what you said, Goody is not afraid to move around. It's going to be fireworks. I'm a draft fanatic. I love it. So this is going to be fun times. A lot of draft capital early and still a lot of moves to be made. So I'm excited.
Now, just looking at the Packers, I would argue their two biggest needs on the team are both on offense. So it's kind of a good question, I think, to start off right off the bat, Jesse. What are they currently right now, as the Green Bay Packers roster is constructed on, you said, Friday? Today is April 8th. What is the Packers' biggest need?
I would say quarterback and fullback. Wouldn't you agree? I'm just playing.
DeGuara. We have DeGuara. Hang on. We have DeGuara. I don't like him. If he was a fullback, I'd like him more. It's because he's a tight end. I don't like him. So yeah. Need more fullbacks in the NFL. Sorry. DeGuara.
No, just playing. I mean, everybody knows it. Everybody's going to, it's between about six guys. It's wide receiver and it's going to be some O-line guys. Those are the guys that we're looking at early. Those are the guys that Green Bay Packers need. Frankly, we have a good roster. Besides, the wide receiver room is a little bare right now. So it's going to be wide receiver. And I'll just say pass catcher, maybe not just strictly wide receiver, pass catcher, and then, you know, some protectors to Aaron Rodgers.
I would prefer if you just said wide receiver.
Okay, there's no tight ends I like that much. I'm sorry. Yeah, wide receiver.
There's never any tight ends I like, even when they're good. So, right. Especially rookies, though. But truthfully, I think, okay, quarterback's the most important position in the NFL. So you either have it figured out or you don't. Packers have Aaron Rodgers. They have it figured out. Like that's you. And I think, maybe an interesting philosophical debate. Are they better off having Jordan Love on the rookie contract? I don't know what Love's salary is this year. I guess I should have checked that up. But whatever it is, it's going to be what? Maxed out at $5 million?
At the most, right.
He's year not even three of a 20s, a guy picked in his 20s. It's got to be in the millions because he's a first-round pick. But yeah, $5 million, $7 million, somewhere in there probably.
Yep, and then you get the escalator on the fifth year. So it's minimal for sure.
I have a feeling they're not picking up the fifth-year option. But that's a problem for next year, to be honest. But let's say it's $5 million, and you know Aaron Rodgers, the cap hits $28 million. I know the salary is a little more. If you want to round it up to 30, that's say six times as much salary as Jordan Love. I feel like the quality of play is more than six times more. So I'll always take Rodgers. Give me the high end quarterback. If it means you have to pay for it because you have the high end quarterback. So yeah. I think that's kind of the first philosophical debate you could talk about team building, right? Is yes, you'd want the quarterback on the rookie contract, but you want the best quality quarterback possible. And that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, I don't think you really have any better quality quarterbacks. You may have two or three in the league that match that quality. You know, considering who Tom Brady is, if you want to say he's better than Rodgers, like I'll pay attention to that argument because he's won enough to maybe earn that. But you know, it's tough to get any better than what you have with Rodgers. And so you probably can't ever truly pay too much for that, to be honest. And I think they're paying pretty fine at $28 million cap it, honestly.
Right. Well, what's your goal right now? The goal is to win, right? If you're in a different situation to rebuild, yeah, then maybe you make that play and move on. Kind of like like what Seattle did, right? They decided to, hey, long term, we need to rebuild and blow up this roster. They got rid of Russell Wilson. Green Bay is not doing that. So what do you, like you're saying, you know, Aaron Rodgers in the top 3 to 5, whatever you want to argue, he's in that, right? Whether you think he's 1, 2, all the way down there, you're not going to change where he is with any other person without, you know, all the money matters. So it's all about the same. It's the moot. So you got your guy. Now you build your team. That's all it is. You know, Jordan Love, I hope him great, whether he's a Packer or not, but right now it's not his time in Green Bay. So if he's in Green Bay, it's going to be a totally change and total different philosophy attack. Right now, it's a 3-year window of we have to win and we're going to do everything we're going to do to win. If it matters, or if it, we got to suck, you know, in the future, we're going to do it. So it's win now mode. Let's build that team.
And I mean, you know, you could take players in this rookie draft again, especially at 22 overall, let's say, you know, that very first pick, you probably want to take on a player that's going to contribute immediately. But if you've got that high quality player that's contributing immediately as a rookie, that's probably a good long-term pick as well. So at a certain point at the top end, the good players are going to show out immediately. So if you're getting good contributing rookies, you expect to have them contribute at least throughout their rookie contract, and hopefully you can get them further than that. So it in a sense, like, both goals can be met. They can still draft good win now players that help them in the future.
Right. And receiver is that spot. You know, a lot of, I'm a big believer on a lot of positions where, as a rookie, don't expect much. Well, receiver has proven in the last 5 years that rookie receivers can contribute and they do matter. So that's one position where if you draft one and you get the right one, that dude can come in and help right away. So I know everybody says Green Bay doesn't draft receivers early. Sorry, this year they are going to draft a receiver early. It's going to happen. It's just there's about 5 guys that we're going to choose from. And hopefully we get the guy that we want.
They don't often have 4 top 60 picks, to be fair.
Right, exactly.
And again, if you've had Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams as second round picks, why would you bother taking receivers in the first round, frankly? Outside of 2020, there's really no other year where it would have made sense to take a receiver in round one.
Right. And we wanted those guys. I mean, we could talk about this all day, but we wanted Justin Jefferson. Trust me. We wanted him. The Vikings weren't going to make a move with us. We wanted him very bad.
I do wonder if he's still there, if they decide to trade up, not for Love, but for Jefferson. That is interesting. If like Jefferson was viewed as a tear break internally for the Packers. God, imagine if Rieger was their guy and they traded up for Rieger instead of Jordan Love. That actually might be worse, to be honest.
Ouch. Yeah, that's 2 different bridges we're crossing. They were in love with Jefferson. I knew that, but they also did like Rieger, but that's where that tier, I think, did change. So you're right. So, oh man.
It seemed like they didn't want the contested catch, big body guys like Higgins and Pittman. They weren't as, I guess, again, internally or whatever Gutekunst or whatever the entire front office staff believes, those guys weren't worthy of first round picks. Or maybe they were, and they didn't want to take those guys and they would have felt they had to at 28. So let's go up and make sure we get Love, I suppose. It would have to be the thinking, I would imagine.
I think so, and I think that'll start us off what we're looking at today, where LaFleur said he's trying to build a basketball team, right? So those big guys during that draft, I think we kind of felt like we kind of had that. You know, Devontae is not huge, but he's kind of that, you know, that small forward guy that's not the burner, but does all that underneath stuff, can do everything. And MVS was our guy over the top that was big. You know, so I think we've kind of felt that those big guys didn't fit that year. You know what I mean? And that kind of goes into this year where he said again, and LaFleur said it a few times, we're trying to build a basketball team. So we want to get different body types to fit everything we want to do. Well, this is the draft where you have totally different style guys. We can jump right into it, but they're totally different dudes.
Yeah, so I guess starting at the wide receiver, it seems like in this case, most of the top end receivers that are expected to go early are the big body. Whereas that year, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, it was a super big shock. Actually, Henry Ruggs was the first pick. Honestly, everyone, I think, expected it to be either Jeudy or Lamb. Like, I don't know if you remember your thoughts on who you thought would be the first receiver taken, but it seems like it was going to be a lock that one of those two is going to be the first to go.
Jefferson was my favorite. I was so high on Jefferson that year.
So you were the visionary because no one else was as high on him except maybe the Vikings. So good for you.
Right. I just loved his gameplay, but I also love Judy too. So I like those two guys. Ruggs went because, hey, that's the Raiders. He was the fastest guy, but I did like Ruggs also. So I'm not going to say I missed the buck on that, but I didn't like Lamb. So I was wrong on that one.
Fair enough. But all to say, like, none of those guys are big body contested catch guys. And like you get to that size, that stature. It was, I think Higgins was taken. I think Higgins, Pittman were back-to-back picks. And that was, you know, the wide receiver 6 and 7 in the class. Whereas it seems like the big body guys are going to be maybe the wide receiver 3 and 4, if they even last that long. Like, they could be the first guy that could go, could fit that mold. So I don't know. How do you want to approach this, Jesse?
Well, let's talk about the guys that we like to. Okay, so should we just say the top five that we're kind of talking about right now?
Well, I'm okay. So yeah, I guess I get those names. In terms of how do you view the top five? Because I'll be honest, like I've got my running back rankings done. Anyone who's listened to the Full Press Fantasy Pod recently, most recent episode just dropped this week, know that I went pretty far into detail about the running back rankings in the process, but I don't really have the wide receiver rankings like all that mapped out. So I'm curious to hear what you view as the top five in this class.
So I like all these guys. So if I say like a guy's above another guy, I could interchange them at any time. But right now, just I know he got hurt and everything, but Drake London is an alpha to me. Maybe not the fastest. But I just feel like he's my number one in this class. He's just so talented, contested catch, played 8 games, dominated every game. Yeah, he's not going to separate. He's a lot of Evans in his game, but he's a little bit lighter, so I think there's a little bit more speed. But at the catch point, he's gonna win the 50-50 balls. With Aaron Rodgers, that's a win. He's a faster, bigger Jordy Nelson. I'm not going to say that's what he's going to do year one or year two, but that's his game. So he's my number one, right behind him. And it's a guy, Treylon Burks. And a lot of people question him, he came out of the combine. He didn't run what everybody thought he was going to run. He still ran a 4.55, still faster than Cooper Kupp, still faster than Jordy Nelson. But if you look at his on the field next gen stats, he ran faster than almost every wide receiver that played in the NFL the last 2 years. He ran almost 22 miles an hour with next gen stats on a 90-yard touchdown. His long speed is fast. He can fly. This guy smoked all his speed does not bother me. And he's 230 pounds. Is his routes good? Not great. Does Aaron Rodgers trust that? That might be a problem, but that's my number two. So I like the big guys in this draft. I'll start with those two. Those are my two favorite, and then we can talk about the other ones if you want to comment.
Well, I guess just to quickly maybe break up the segment, I will say I have Burks as my number one, and I don't really have everyone ranked behind him. It's just he's the one that stands out the most to me. Now, I want to just focus on doesn't run the routes, like the route running aspect. From what I saw, it seems like the timing is fine. Like, he gets to the spot he needs to on time. It's just he can't disguise his routes, or he doesn't disguise his routes. He just runs it straight. He doesn't try any double moves. And so that's what's maybe going to cause a lack of separation more than anything. Maybe if he gets bullied off the line, he might be slowed to the point of attack in that case, if he can't get the separation. But to me, I think the timing aspect of the route seems fine, which I think could work with Rodgers. So I don't think it's a detriment, like a huge detriment, like completely wouldn't operate unless I'm seeing the routes wrong. Like, am I right with that? Or what do you think about the route running specifically?
I agree. No, I think, listen, I don't think they did a super sophisticated route tree with him at Arkansas. So he ran what he was asked to be run and get the ball to Burks. That was their offense. Get him the ball. And that's what they did. So he ran his route. If it wasn't, like you said, he's not going to separate. It's not going to be like super explosive out of any breaks, but he's going to run it correctly. He's going to do it. And they're going to give him the ball. And guess what? He's going to do damage. And I think he fits. I just think he fits what we want to do. We can basically make plays to get the ball in his hand, just produce touches for him.
Would it be fair to say he's better after the catch than London?
Oh yeah. Big time. Yeah. Big time. So London, as good as London's like the rebounder, right? You throw the ball up in the end zone, he'll get it. You know, a bigger James Jones who Rodgers loved, but London's longest career TD was like 46 yards. There's not a lot of run after catch. It was just contested jump balls. Burks, he's got a whole profile of everything over 50 yards. That dude made plays. So yes, he is after the catch monster.
Now, if let's say Drake London does go to the Packers, he may have a longer career catch than 46 yards. And that might not even be because of the after the catch stuff. Like if he can right. catch deep balls for Rodgers, that will help that. And you don't need to do it after the catch if you can do it before the catch and get that separation, get open. So I'll be curious to see where both London and Burks go. But as you said, you're top two.
Yeah. Now your question, I kind of want to move Burks up again. Like I said, it's 1A, 1B. So thanks for doing that. Then after that, you know, you don't got the size monsters. I think, you know, the next couple guys are more, you know, more not small, but typical size wide receivers. I say Olave's in that group. Probably the best route runner day one, ready to run the whole route tree. I think he's going to be really good, but I don't feel like he can be dominant like the other guys, if that makes sense. I just feel like he's a really good football player, compliment to anybody else. He'll be a great football player, but if he has to take the whole load, I think he could get beat up a little bit, but I love his route running. The speed's there. The production's there. Really good football player. I guess, you know, Garrett Wilson, same team. Wilson, I think, is a little bit more raw, but maybe a little more explosive. Not as crisp, but maybe a little bit more big play. So those guys are in the next tier. I mean, give me your thoughts and we can keep going.
Well, just actually quickly, like you said, top five. So so you kind of make it sound like your top five is three different tiers then.
No. Okay. Well, I put Jameson Williams. I was waiting on Jameson Williams because he got hurt. So that was going to be my wild card. So,
well, let's let the people know the three. So, or yeah, those three that are after you're again, your clear top tier. So you separated as top tier of London, Burks, and then you have these next three guys and you order again, Olave, right. Wilson, Williams. Now, would Williams have been higher if he wasn't hurt?
Yeah, big time. I think Williams, I put Williams in my first tier if he wasn't hurt, just because it's now we need that guy. He's got game over the top, big play. I mean, averaged over 20 yards a catch in college. The dude's awesome. You just let him run go routes and stop that, you know, but the injury, I think he'll be back this year, but I just think with the Packers win now mode, you want to get that guy in your system, especially if he's your first pick. Cause I think we're looking at first pick, right? In the first round right now for us. If he's there, you take him for sure. But yeah, that's why I dropped into the second tier, but yeah, Jameson Williams, that guy's a monster. No doubt.
So I guess, I mean, you still have Wilson again in your top five, but looking at something I'll mention in a bit, but that might be, you know, if you have him four or five, might be considered being low on Garrett Wilson for this class, considering where you might be expected to go. So is there something about his game that you like less than, say, for instance, his teammate, Chris Olave, right? Maybe that's a direct comparison. Why are you a little lower on Wilson, it seems, than maybe consensus?
So I think it's fit, right? Because I probably would take George Pickens over him also. And it's not because Wilson's not good. I think Wilson is explosive. He has a lot of good game in him. But I think it's going to take 2 or 3 years for him to fill. When this is tough. When you look at the Packers wide receiver room right now, he's not ready to be that guy. Now, if you looked at it last year when you had Davante Adams in there and you had a Wilson, okay, cool. This guy fits in where you just manufacture touches and you're not asking anything more than him to be explosive. but I don't think he's ready to be the guy where I think you could erase him if he has to be the guy, if that makes sense. That has nothing to go against his talent.
Because it almost seems whoever the Packers are taking is not just going to be there. Like you're saying, like, no matter who it is, they're going to draft whoever, assuming they're drafting wide receiver at 22, they're drafting them early enough that the coaching staff believes in this player. They are going to find ways to get the ball in that player's hand. So the manufactured touches, people say that as almost a pejorative, right? Oh, he's got manufactured touches. That's the mark of the team feels they need to do that because they want to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. Like, they're going to do that for their most talented players who don't need that, but they're just going to do it anyway, right? Like, you still, as great a talent as receivers are, you still want to give them the best edge you can. Like, even Antonio Brown, not to say that, you know, manufactured touches doesn't have to just be getting the ball behind the line of scrimmage, but Antonio Brown playing in the slot as much as he did, knowing that it's easier to kind of use either direction to get open, the field laterally, you can, and depth as well. Like, that's really tough coverage assignment for any cornerback, even the best in the league. But, you know, the slot corner, that, like, the playing the nickel corner is really difficult and like a really particular skill set. So in a sense, you want to set up your players to be good there no matter what. So whether it's Wilson or Burks, whoever the Packers take are going to manufacture them touches. But what they also need is a red zone threat. And like you mentioned, Drake London, Treylon Burks kind of have that body type to provide that immediately. London with the, like you're saying, the vertical skill set. Seems like Burks, again, more after the catch. So from that sense, in that way, it does make sense for you to have London ahead of Burks. If that's knowing that the Packers do throw so much to their wide receiver in the red zone, whoever their wide receiver one is, like, that's going to be a primary target. Maybe London does fit that better, but it seems like that might be where Wilson struggles more than some of these other guys.
Yeah. And Wilson, in my article that I wrote last week, you know, I think Wilson contorts his body as good as anybody. He's just not that physical size, you know, size strength monster, like the two that I really like this year. Because what was the Packers' problem last year? 2 years ago, they were great in the red zone. Last year, they really struggled scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Well, get that jump ball guy in there, like a Drake London or even Burks. I mean, you know, Burks is the run after the catch guy. He's still a big physical dude. Where Rodgers hits that back shoulder throw, he's the only guy that's going to get to it. You know what I mean? It's just, you're not going to win against that. Again, I'm not knocking any of these guys. My rankings, all these guys are still top 25, top 30 picks. But the only reason why I put Wilson down a little bit, because he's not as refined, even though he had a great year last year, and he doesn't have that physical skill set size-wise to the other guys. Now, get him in open space, or, you know, if he needs to be your slot guy, heck yeah, that guy is really good. If you have a dominant number one, or a bigger body receiver, and then you can throw him in the mix, you just made your offense, you know, really efficient with him. Green Bay right now, it just doesn't fit what they do. He's a little undersized for their style. And it's now, right? That's another thing where, like, we don't have time to try to work him into the offense. Aaron Jones can do what we want to do with Garrett Wilson, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that does. Like, you're looking for, you know, body type skill sets that aren't on the roster right now that you could add through the draft, a facet to this team that it doesn't have that you wouldn't be able to get any other way except making that draft pick. So, right. When you talk about this top five, that seems like that's what the top five really is in terms of how the draft community is viewing them. I'm looking at grinding the mocks, and they have all five of those players as the first five receivers going off the board. And grinding the mocks, they're taking thousands of mock drafts across various different websites. It's a compilation aggregate ranking of where these players are going. And frankly, all five of them have an expected draft position is what they use on grinding the mocks, an EDP of 23 or higher. And Garrett Wilson is actually the highest right now, expected to be the first wide receiver off the board. And his EDP is 11.5. So they're like, again, what mock drafts are kind of saying right now, again, as a consensus, he's a borderline top 10 pick. And it's maybe contrary to what the Packers might view, other teams, though, may have that need for that skill set of Wilson and covet that more. And in which case, he maybe is a little different than the other big body type guys. So, in a sense, he might be the one that stands out. And a lot of other teams that need that slot receiver are going to go grab him. Like, it's funny because 11.5, 11's Washington, right? I did a mock draft for full press coverage, and I had Garrett Wilson going to Washington, pairing up with the old Ohio. I guess they weren't teammates. They were never at Ohio State together, but old Ohio State receiver Terry McLaurin, just because, you know, Washington could use, like, outside of McLaurin, their wide receiver core is pretty bad. So they could use any infusion of talent there. You brought in, you made this trade for Carson Wentz. Why not give him a second wide receiver? So, like, it might be something where the Packers don't even have to worry about having to take Wilson. It seems like he's going to be off the board long before they will have to pick.
All right. Isn't Samuel from OSU too? Just to say, yeah, the Commanders are all OSU.
Darn, I didn't even put that in the article, because he would obviously replace what they kind of thought Curtis Samuel would be for them last year. And you know,
right.
You have, like, again, if Samuel gets hurt, you have that option. And if, like, Wilson's so good that he has to get on the field, Samuel can play on the outside too. So he's not just a slot receiver, and who knows, maybe Wilson can develop that as well. So I don't know.
No.
Maybe I've heard rumors the Jets might take him to pair with Elijah Moore, but it kind of seems like, I don't think the Vikings would take him at 12.
No.
But yeah, I mean, he might fall. Like, I don't know. Eagles at 15 seem like they wouldn't pass him up. Right. So I it's kind of hard to envision Garrett Wilson seemingly going outside the top 15. Again, just kind of how mock draftings review it. He might not even get to the Jets at 10. Who knows?
No, and I agree with you, and I'd be happy with that. Like, he's number 5 on my list. That doesn't mean that I don't think he goes early, because I do think he goes early. Let somebody else take him and push out guys that fit us better. That's just how I feel about it, because I think the guy's talented. It doesn't fit for us what we're looking to do right now. It's, you know, best player available. It's not that. It's best value available. So, great player. I've seen a lot of mocks too. He's the first guy off the board. He fits what a lot of other teams do, especially if they have another guy and then you throw him in the mix. Everybody wants to be like Kansas City was, you know, when they still had the whole team together and they had Hill. Well, you add all these fast, physical, small guys, that's hard to cover, right? Well, Washington, guess what? Good fit. You have that group. You know, you got Scary Terry Samuel, and then you throw that in there. Hey, find your quarterback, go to work. Wentz, he's okay. I know I'm getting off topic, but he's going to be a top 20 pick. I really do think so, but he's number 5 for the Green Bay Packers to me.
Good problem to have if he's not there, right? Because there are other guys falling. But so, again, looking at the EDP on Grinding the Mocks, it was 11.4. I said 11.5, my mistake. But while that's the aggregate position in the mock drafts, it's actually the 10th highest of all the players listed. And again, they're talking over 1500 mocks here. Right. So again, top 10 pick, not out of the question for Garrett Wilson. Next on that EDP list, Grinding the Mocks, is Drake London at 13.1, the 14th highest. Jameson Williams at 18.5, ranks 17th. And then Chris Olave, 18.8, ranks 19. Treylon Burks at 23 is the 22nd highest. It almost seems like it's going to happen. Like, he's going to be the one that might fall to them. It's, at least at this point, seems like it's the likeliest to be the guy there, because the way these mock drafts are going, there is maybe a risk that all 5 of these guys are gone before the Packers pick.
Well, maybe, but then you look at the quarterback rankings, and yeah, because it's a bad quarterback class, let's be honest.
Yes. Even
someone's going to draft one or two. So that's going to push some guys down. So, right. I don't see all 5 of these guys going before us. I really don't. But hey, crazier things have happened. But at the same time with, like, Burks, it's just, here was a guy that everybody had him in the top 15. And then all the media reports that he was going to come into the combine, and I fell for it. He's going to have 11 and a half inch hands. Well, he didn't have 11 and a half inch hands. He didn't run a 4.340. But then you look at his RAS score for his size. He's in the 9th percentile. So his athletic ability is not bad. It just wasn't Bo Jackson good like everybody thought. So all these teams met with him this week. He's been going to all these different teams. I think because a lot of guys want to know, how can we use him? Because I think he's a weapon. I think he's a guy that's just not, oh, throw him on the outside, he's going to be your number one receiver. No, this is going to be a guy that you just move him around your offense and use him and just dominate. I used Anquan Boldin, you know, a young Anquan Boldin for him, you know, not the fastest, but just a big physical guy. If we get half of that, I'll take it.
And to your point with the quarterbacks, again, on Grinding the Mocks, they only have two quarterbacks going off the board by that point. Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis. They have Matt Corral. His EDP right now is 30.9. So just making it in the back end of the first round. There may be as many as five quarterbacks that go in the first round. So maybe that bumps, you know, some wide receivers down. So we'll see. But following this EDP again, Burks would be the one that is there for the Packers to take. And it just seems like, again, okay, you know, the lack of double moves might be concerning, but the way he won in college a lot seems like a way a Matt LaFleur offense would want to design wide receivers to win. So I think it's actually a really good fit.
You got that right. If you just, not even with the ball in his hands, if you look at the Matt LaFleur offense, like you're saying, and we're going to run the ball because we got the backfield, this guy blocks like Alan Lazard. He's going to be physical. He's going to be a bully. When the fourth quarter comes around, just like a heavyweight boxing fight, this guy's going to shine. Yeah, he fits. He screams Packer to me. You know, spoiler, when we mock later, this is the guy I want. So.
All right. Now let's play worst case scenario. What happens if, let's say all five of those receivers do go off the board? Now, the Packers really are set on taking wide receiver at 22. Who's the sixth guy for you? Who's that next guy that they're going to take? Or do you think there isn't any other receivers worthy of taking in the first round?
I do. So 22 would be tough because if those five went, there's other positions I like. But if we're just going to stay in the receiver market, George Pickens fits a lot.
True. You did mention that. I should have been listening earlier. You did say that.
George Pickens, he fits. I mean, granted, he's the injury history. Sorry, Packer fans, because injuries were, oh, my God, we always draft guys that are injured. Yeah, he's had a lot of them, but the guy fits a lot of molds. His freshman year, what he did in the ACC or the SEC, he dominated, you know, coming off an injury this year. He flashed at the end of the year. He's good. He's really good. And then the sleeper, which – I don't know if I'd take him at 22, but he's another guy that I think could develop into something. Christian Watson, that dude, North Dakota State, size, speed, everything you want. He's got it. Now, is he raw? Yeah. He's not going to be, oh, just throw him out there year one and this guy's going to step in the NFL. But in year two or three, you might have a really dang good player. I don't know if, like I said, 22, we'll talk about some other options, but if this is worst case scenario, first round picks, I could see both of them going. That's where my tier ends. Those are those two guys. Those are my last receivers where I could see in the first round.
Okay. So, and again, looking at their EDPs, they're both actually outside the first round in consensus rankings and mocks. Just early second, 33.8 for Christian Watson. It does rank him at 32, though. So he is would technically then be considered a first round pick if we're just based on just the rankings of them. 38.6 for George Pickens. So I think you're right. Like those, they're probably not reaching for them at 22, knowing they have that pick at 28. So like those two are probably more targets for them at 28, to be fair.
Yep, I agree. And we're just talking about offense in this episode because there's probably, if the other five receivers went before 22, we're going to get a dang good other player in another spot that we'll take.
Positions are falling. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Go out the elite prospects more than force a position. Now, just, I guess, quick question. We'll just, I guess, end with these first round wide receivers again, because looking at the, again, the EDP, Christian Watson would actually be wide receiver 7 on their list. George Pickens, wide receiver 8. But wide receiver 6, actually, with a expected draft position of 29 on Grinding the Mocks, okay, is Jahan Dotson. So what do you think about Dotson, Jesse?
I like him. In my article, I said I liked him too. I don't think he's not a first round. Listen, if we go out in free agency and we get a guy, DK Metcalf or someone big like that, he fits. But not right now. I like the player, not the position. Not right now. Draft position is what I mean. I love how he attacks the ball in the air. He's small, but he's feisty. He's a good football player. I just not ready to pull the trigger on him in the first round. That's me.
Okay. And then one last name. I want to name it wide receiver who, again, his EDP is 43.5. He is the 9th wide receiver expected to go off the board. It's weird. That's a tough range for the Packers because that's too early for them in the second round, at 53. If he were to go again at that, mid 40s range, but probably too early to reach at the 28 spot. But what do you think of Sky Moore?
Biggest hands out of all the wide receivers. Can you believe that? That dude did have the 11-inch hands, huge hands, caught everything. James Jones's favorite receiver. He said that yesterday, that James Jones just loves this kid. I get it. Small school kid. I think he's going to be really good, but he's not the other guys. Not yet, at least. But again, not first round, but the upside in the route running, I think he can be really good. Just not in the first round for me. But if we get him in the second round with one of our two picks, I'd be jumping up and down because he fell. Cause I think he's a top 40, top 45 pick.
Well, that would almost be something like, let's say the Packers miss out on the top 5. They can't get Burks, doesn't fall to them at 22, and they address other needs and don't take receiver in the first round. That could be something where they try and take one of those second round picks, package another pick, and move up early into the second to go and get a guy like Sky Moore, maybe.
And I can dig it. It would fit. I mean, he's compact. He's built really nice. He's about 5'10", right under 5'10", almost 200 pounds, runs good routes. It screams a bigger Greg Jennings, which same kind of small school kind of style, good route runner with big, strong hands. I have no problem with that. If you had to move up to get him because you got better in the first round, cool.
Although now I'm thinking about it, that would almost be one where, because you had the luxury of having the 22nd overall pick, if the Packers really felt that way, they might just take him at 29 and not risk him falling out of the first round.
It all depends who is still there. But
of course,
crazy situations. It's a chess game right now.
No, for sure. So just to quickly transition here to, chess and thinking like football isn't just the physical side. It's the mental, it's the theoretical as well. So some theory that I hinted at earlier, did kind of want to finish this discussion. I think it is actually a great place to have the discussion though. Quarterback's the most important position in football, hands down. Now, what's the second most important position in football? I've got some thoughts. I think actually I could even maybe argue the top 5 is pretty clear, but certainly the top 4. So I'm interested to what you think, Jesse. What do you think is the second most important position in gridiron football?
Oh man, do you want to talk about this for the next 10 hours? Because this is a good. I would argue myself on this. I know we talked about it. So probably protecting your number one. So your tackle, left tackle. But I'm huge on pass rusher. I'm huge on pass rusher, and I'm huge on a good corner. But they're all up there.
Well, and I think the edge rusher and the blindside tackle, especially, like, those two things to me go hand in hand, right? The reason the blindside tackle is so important because there's such an emphasis on the pass rush. So to me, it makes logical sense that those are the second and third most important positions. And you can decide the order. I think philosophically, I would say if quarterback's the most important position, then you have a defense. What does your defense have to do? You have to get after the quarterback. So I would argue it's edge rusher is the next most important. But then that leads to blindside protected would be the third most important then.
Yep. So, and yeah, they're right there, right?
What's more important, attacking the quarterback or protecting your own, right? Like, depends on the team, right? Depends on the coach, I suppose. But is there another position that could be considered the second most important now? And the way the position's been getting paid lately, especially, you know, with Davante Adams, the Packers kind of, and this doesn't seem like it was the reason. Actually, it seems like they were willing to match the contract. But man, that'd have been real difficult to have to pay both Rodgers and Adams, in a sense, maybe a blessing in disguise that they can hopefully reset, especially if they get Treylon Burks. I think we'll view that as quite the victory, to be honest. But is there an argument to be made that wide receiver is the second most important position? If, you know, what does the quarterback do? He passes the football, so someone's got to be there to make the catches. Is there credence for that argument, Jesse?
Maybe. So playing devil's advocate on it, would you rather have one elite, which we had Adams, or would you rather have two or three really awesome? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to pay one? Because, right, this market just blew up, and now it seems like every wide receiver wants to get paid $30 million. Wow, must be nice. And I'm not taking nothing away from these guys. They're really good. But give me a room of three guys that are really, really strong instead of one elite, and I'd rather roll with that. So it's so hard to say that. Who makes the wide – Davante Adams is great, but working with Aaron Rodgers – he was pretty blessed too, right? You know, it's so hard to say
that. 17 touchdowns in a season doesn't just, like, you need the quarterback to throw enough to get that, no matter how good a receiver you are.
He fed him. Like, Aaron Rodgers to a fault fed Davante Adams. There's in that game against the Niners, we had wide receivers running wide open, you know, and that's not Devontae's fault. He draws everybody to him. But at the same time, if you give me three really good guys and you can spread it around, how do you stop that? How do you stop that? You don't, because you don't have a secondary that can do it. So it's not in my top five. It's really not. I think you can win. If you give me a top 10 receiver, then maybe two in the top 30, I think I'm a lot better than one top five. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. You want the depth. I mean, ideally, if you could have like three top five receivers. Okay, that'd be really good. Yeah, like, give me three elite options, of course. But no, it means you're ignoring every other position to go over that, right? So no, you need a balance, right? I mean, football is 11 on 11, so you can't overly focus on one position as much as we talk about how important the quarterback is. Quarterback's also distributing on every play. So again, interesting dynamics. Just thought that was an interesting discussion to have as we get into what we view as the only other possible position that the Packers will go on offense in the first round, and probably even the second round, honestly. Maybe there's a running back in the second round they might go to, as much as they, you have Jones and Dylan, makes that hard to believe they would. So it really does seem like, besides wide receiver, Jesse, is the offensive line the next biggest need for the Packers overall, but certainly on offense.
Overall, no, it's not to me. It goes to the defense, but that'll be the next article, but our next podcast. But on offense, if it's not a wide receiver on offense, it's going to be an offensive lineman, and it's probably going to be an interior guy, because I think all the guys we like that can play on the outside will be gone. So, and it's not going to be a running back. It's not going to be a tight end, as much as you want one, and it's not going to be a quarterback or a running back. So it's going to be offensive line in those first four picks.
First off, we'll address what you said there. Especially the edge protectors you really want are going to probably be gone. So again, looking back to grinding the mocks, you've got Evan Neal, expected draft position of 5.1, Akeem Ikwunu at 5.5, and they're the third and fourth ranked players.
Yep, they're both gone.
I think, honestly, it almost seems really unlikely that either will fall out of the top five.
They won't. I think Icky goes before him, actually. They're both crazy talented.
I feel like Evan Neal's EDP has fallen a little bit. Maybe that's because Ikwunu has been kind of going. I mean, again, the Jags might. I doubt the Lions do, but then the Texans and Jets, right? Like, those are three teams, especially, well, I think Texans and Jets especially are two teams that really could use the offensive line help. So I would be shocked if like either made it through number four, to be honest. So no chance for the Packers. They're not even going to bother trying to trade up. According to Grinding the Mocks, the next guy is Charles Cross, EDP of 11.5, number 11. So he is right behind Garrett Wilson, for reference sake. What do you think of Cross?
He's a sophomore. This kid's only going to get better. His footwork is amazing. Needs to get stronger, right? We'll get it. Yeah. This guy is a staple to any team. Some drafts have him coming to 20. There's no way. The dude's gone before 15 for real. He's going to be really good. He's 20 years old. He's a stud.
Again, like right on the borderline of that top 10 pick right now for Grinding the Mocks. Then it seems like again, well, no, not again, like receiver. There's clear five in receiver. It seems like there's a clear four at tackle. Am I right about that? Does this small school guy kind of make the grade for you as a worthy of being a first round pick, Trevor Penning?
Yep. He's the end of that. Just a bully. That dude will fight anybody on any day of the week. You just call him up. He'll show up and fight you. That's another one where, you know, maybe 2 months ago, everybody thought, okay, he might be around in the 20s. After he went to the Senior Bowl and he kicked everybody's butt and he was pissing off first round talent defensive linemen because he was beating them up. Yeah, that guy's another guy that's not going to fall far. So just a really good talent.
18.6 for reference sake on the EDP again for Grinding the Mocks. So it looks like he's going to be a top 20 pick.
Yep, and that's it. And that's your offensive tackles to me that are worth first round picks. So we're not getting them to me.
And I think the thing with the Packers that I'll maybe push back on what you said, I might argue that offensive line is their second biggest need overall. I think they have five starters. Assuming everyone's healthy, they've got that. They may only have Josh Nijman as a true NFL caliber ready backup that we know can trust. So not very much depth on this line at all. And again, that's assuming Bakhtiari and Jenkins are healthy. Imagine if neither are healthy to start the season and you've got Josh Nijman at left tackle, which it actually like seems like that you can have worse. You can have a bigger problem with like there can be bigger problems than having that. So you're not maybe so worried about that over a short term, but who plays right tackle? So part of me thinks as much as it seems like the next best offensive linemen are all interior guys, I'd be okay with them reaching maybe not 22, but certainly at 28 reaching on a tackle that might be a second round guy, but again, fills that what we argue might be a top three position in the NFL in terms of importance. And again, that right, you know, we're specifically thinking, I think right tackle. So not the blind side, but still the edge protectors. But I guess how many, so again, looking at Grinding the Mocks, it seems like there's three guys that are interior linemen that are all in that mid 20s range. Do you have three as well that you would consider first rounders, or is it less than that? Is it more than that?
Yeah, I think I got three. Going back to that, if David Bakhtiari is not ready by the beginning of this season, his career is over. So please don't say that again, because that it's almost going to be 2 years. And if that knee can't be right, we're screwed there. So, I would be scared, but going to the interior guys, like you're saying, because we both view, I think that Jenkins is our right tackle, right? Cause he's going to have to get paid as a tackle because he's that good. So you and me are both penciling him in there. Correct. That's how we feel.
And that's almost back to the Adams thing, because you don't have to pay Adams. You can pay Jenkins as your future left tackle, which seems like that's going to be the case. So he's going to make probably top dollar left tackle money eventually, just because everything 100%. He does align, like, he's probably worth that. I would say he's worth that. So great. Knowing that you're probably going to have to do that at some point, but yeah, he's assuming everyone's healthy. I would imagine he's the right tackle.
Yep. Cool. So we're on the same page. So that's what we agree. So yeah. Interior guys, I don't know if it's three. Well, my three, I know there's a center in there that I'm not as high on, but yeah, I have three in the middle that are first round talents for me. 100%.
Well, go ahead. Who are they?
So Zion Johnson, if he's there and our receivers are gone, give me Zion Johnson. You can slide him in at either guard spot, and both our guards who you know, Lucas Patrick's gone, they can try to battle him out. He's going to win. In my article, like I said, he played here in Davidson, which is in Charlotte, North Carolina, not too far from me. This kid came in with zero stars and he went to Boston College and now he's a first round pick. This kid is tough. He's mean. He's good. I love everything about him. So he's my number one inside. Kenyon Green, okay, not the athlete that showed up on, you know, at the combine and everything that everybody wanted. Still a five-star recruit. SEC, he's dominant. Really good. Just a really good football player. Maybe not the best athlete. I know a lot of people like Tyler Lindenbaum from Iowa. I'm not going to talk about him. My third guy is Tyler Smith from Tulsa. His hit, if you know wrestling and you know like angles and you watch this guy play football, this guy's taking down dudes every play. His hips and how he moves and how he just gets into people and puts them on their back. He's Jenkins all over again. This kid's really good. And I know he's like a top 50 pick, but if we took him at like 28, I wouldn't be mad. Because the Green Bay knows how to pick their linemen. And I would just say, hey, we just got an all pro. Cause I think this kid's got all pro potential.
Okay. So a few takeaways. So on again, grinding the mocks, their EDP actually has Linderbaum as the highest expected drafted interior offensive lineman. 23.8 is his aggregate mock spot. So, but again, that being the highest, all these guys should be there for the Packers at 22. Again, if there's no wide receiver, Zion Johnson next at 25.2, Kenyon Green at 28. Tyler Smith, not too far off from a first round pick. He's his EDP is 34 and he's ranked also 34. So, you know, technically a second round pick, but it seems like it's maybe a six spot reach, quote unquote. And for this, if they take him at 28, but the other thing with Tyler Smith is, and I've seen this on other mock drafts as well. Grady the Mox has him listed as a tackle. So that ability to play inside out and that versatility, we know that much the Packers covet it. But again, you're right, Bakhtiari, I will assume he's going to be healthy, but Jenkins with the midseason ACL tear, that could be something where he's not quite ready to start week one at right tackle. Maybe Smith starts out there and then moves inside later in the season. And if that seems to be going well, so I almost like Smith the most if he's got that versatility, ability to play outside. Now, again, tackle in college doesn't mean you'll be able to play tackle in the NFL. Maybe some guys that were outside in college can only play inside. So what do you think about Smith and that ability to move outside? Do you think that's there, or do you think he, even though he's listed as a tackle, he really is just a guard from NFL standards?
Typical Packer pick, right? They like their guys that are versatile, that can move around and can play any position. You know, Green Bay and the musical chairs. Well, all three guys that I just said have played almost every position in college. And Smith's body type fits, you know, because he's 6'5", a little bit longer than, because Johnson's 6'3", but has played, you know, left tackle and all that. But yeah, Tyler Smith, you can throw him out at right tackle day one. He's going to compete, right? The guy's got the hips. He's just nasty, man. He's just a fighter. I love it. It's a Packer pick. Like, they're not guys who are like, oh, he's this only. No, they can play anything. For the first two I said, Johnson and Green, I think they're, you kick them inside, that's what they're going to play. You know, you're good. But yeah, Tyler Smith, if you need a right tackle, heck yeah, he can go play right tackle. Hey, you need a right guard or a left guard, man, he's your day one starter. That kid, he's good. I'm surprised he's as high what you said, because a lot of places have him like right around 50 or 60. And you said he's about in the 30s. So that's, I'm impressed, because I think that's where he belongs.
Well, and again, it's funny because they, as much as I say they how many mocks they're going through, they also list each player individually, how many mocks they've been in. And while I mentioned, you know, Evan Neal, for instance, Grinding the Mocks has 1,625 mock drafts with him in it.
Wow.
Tyler Smith is only in 239. So maybe skewing the averages a little, but again, that's something where it seems like he'll be there for the Packers at 28. So that seems like a natural pick there, especially if they get their wide receiver Now, before we go, Jesse, three more names at tackle that I think these guys are for sure going to be more targets in the second round. And again, maybe they all go too high, but just get your thoughts on them. So we've got Bernard Raymond, Nicolas Petitfrère, who I am shocked is not Canadian. And in fact, I'm shocked that he's from Tampa, Florida. But and then Daniel Falele. So what do you think of those three?
Okay, yeah, I know Daniel Flay, that's Minnesota, that's that big dude. The biggest thing with him coming in was him being able to have good footwork. It's not bad. You know, he's a second or third round project. I don't think he fits the Packers profile just with his, I mean, that dude's 6'8", 380. Green Bay likes their small, not smaller, but more athletic, I guess, size guys, so I don't see him as a fit. Just he's not my guy. The Raymond guy from Central Michigan, who I think he's Australian, correct?
I think he's he's a converted tight end. So you know I don't like him, but he's switched his position. So he got the right message there.
Right. He's already 25 years old. Not a Packer pick.
36.6 on the EDP as well. So that's one. If they don't take him at 29, they're probably not getting him. Or right. Sorry, 28. Right. Why do I keep saying 29? 28. Like he's not going to be there for them in the 50s, but. Whereas, you know, Falele might. Petitfrère right now at 43.2, even that might be a stretch. But do you know much about him from Ohio State?
And that's your Ohio State kid, right? I knew that you were going to say that better than I could. Yeah. So I wish he would have went back to school. When my article comes out, maybe on Monday, I wrote about him. Footwork's there. He's a really good athlete. He needs one more year in college. I wish he went back. I think he's a third round prospect right now. I think you can mold into something really nice because I think there's a lot of good tools there, but just not yet. I'm really surprised he didn't go back to school because coming into this year, they had him like a top 25 pick and they moved him from inside to left tackle and you saw some struggles. I think he's going to be good down the line, but should have went back to school.
Well, so you're saying he should have, you know, gone another year, got a little bigger and not be Petitfrère. He just come out as Nicolas Frère.
What? Yes, sir.
Because it does. Petitfrère means little brother for those who don't know, but and for those who don't, well, we're letting you know now. And if you have any other comments that you want to let us know about, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Also your co-hosts individually, Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and iOS stores. Gives you access to all the great content from Full Press Coverage, all the great draft content right now especially. So if you want all that in one spot for free, download the Full Press Coverage app today. Shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_II_Official, who lets us use the song For Your Body as our intro and outro music. So thank you, PA, for that. Jesse, any final thoughts before we leave our listeners here?
Ah, man, draft season. Go Pack, go. They're going to hit some home runs.
For sure. And not a baseball show. We'll be coming back with more football next week, talking about the defensive side and potential for what the Packers do with these first four picks again on the defensive side. But that'll be next time on the Full Press Packers Pod.